Well, hello and welcome once again to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast. I want to thank you for joining me, and I pray that the next 29-30 minutes will be a blessing to you all. The title I've given my message today is simply, What Defiles a Man? What Defiles a Man? Well, we're going to find out best we can, and we're dealing mostly in the book of Matthew. Matthew verse 15. We'll start out there anyway, Matthew verse 15, and we're going to read. Now, for me, this verse draws my attention, so let's see what it does for you, okay? Matthew 15, verses 1 to 9. Follow along if you have your Bible with you, okay? Okay, we're going to read the first two verses, then we'll skip down to verse 7. Okay, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But Jesus answered, and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Okay, let's move down to verse 7. Jesus is turning up the power here right now. He says, Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Wow! This people, go back to verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. Now, no pun intended here, but the heart is really at the crux of the matter, isn't it? The heart. You see, God looks upon the heart. All right? Now, tell me, what most common name do we usually associate with such a verse? You hear it a lot, especially in Christian circles. The most common word is, you ready? You're not going to like it. Hypocrite. Hypocrite. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, the subject matter you have given me today, well, it's not conducive to that which is in my heart, or even the hearts of many who will hear it. I ask, O Lord, for wisdom from on high, and that those who hear these important words, well, they'll be able to separate the wheat from the chaff. And when all is said and done, Lord God, may our faith be strengthened, and may you, O Lord, be pleased with this servant. In Jesus' most holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's get into the message. Look, I could sit here all day without batting an eyelash and listen to the unsaved try to explain away the precious truths of God's holy word. Oh, yeah. And when they're finished, pray for them. Pray for them. That's what it's all about. Pray without ceasing. If you've heard my message there a couple of weeks ago, pray without ceasing. You know, you just don't say a quickie prayer and that's it, and you forget all about it. No, pray without ceasing means always be in an attitude of prayer. On the other hand, well, hypocrites are about as low as you can go. Hypocrites, in fact, make God sick. Terrible, terrible. Hypocrites. You're not a hypocrite, are you? Oh, you're not sure? Oh, well. Continue listening to this message. Now, if I stand before you and tell you how much I love the Lord, get in the picture? If I stand before you and tell you how much I love the Lord, and then, when I leave, I go back into the world, so to speak, and for the most part, I turn to Matthew 15, verse 8. Matthew 15, verse 8, okay? Which I just read. So I want to read it again. Matthew 15, verse 8. The people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is what? Is far from me. Their heart is far from me. So, Matthew 15, verse 8, in reality, then, if you take it seriously, then I have defiled myself if I don't pay attention to that. If that's me, I've defiled myself. The most popular preachers of our time are not worthy to unloose the Savior's sandals. Did you get that? They're not worthy to unloose our Savior's sandals. I won't even bother to mention all their names. Verse 8, let me read it again. The people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I mean, you could read that over and over and over again, and it applies over and over again to many who preach or try to preach or think they're preaching the Word of God. And verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, not of God, of men. Over in Isaiah 29, verse 13, we read, listen to this now. Isaiah 29, verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. Skip to verse 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Read it again, Isaiah 29, verse 13, and then verse 15. I want to repeat verse 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Wow. What defiles a man? That's a question. What defiles a man? The answer? He defileth himself. He defileth himself. There's none so low who dares to don the cloak of God's righteousness and drags it through the filth of abomination. There's none so low. The fires of hell will overlap with their indignation. Oh, yes. My own mother. Now, how dare you speak out against your own flesh? She began her life as a would-be bondwoman, liking of those who would tickle her ears, whether it be Catholicism or Protestantism or whatever, something in between. At her deathbed, she left me with only a hope. And my brothers, how they laughed and scorned my devotion to Christ, who had set me free, and oft times mocked and threatened my physical being. Imagine that, your own brothers, your own blood, threatening your physical being. Oh, how sad. I hardly knew my own flesh and blood. That's what it came to. They since departed. They've gone from this world. And it breaks my heart to say this, but I shall never see them again. I shall never see them again. Where'er I went and with whom I spake, most were of short duration. Most were of short duration. Though they listened, they did not hear. All that remained was a distant goodbye. When I had prayed, it would be praise the Lord or God bless. As many of you likely know, when the name of Jesus is lifted up in a company of friends, you may not have as many friends as you thought. You might not. Oh, did you know that Jesus Christ came to this earth as the fisher of men? And did you know he was the greatest fisherman there ever was? Even better than my dad. Oh, yeah. Why? Well, he could talk the fish right into the boat if he wanted to. And did you know that of all the fish Jesus ever caught, he never threw one back? Are you getting the message here? Are you not like a fish? And when Jesus catches you because of your repentance and belief in him, he doesn't throw you back. In other words, you cannot lose your salvation. You cannot. Of all the fish that Jesus ever caught, he never will throw one back. Just like every soul he ever saved, he never unsaved. Once saved, always saved. That's something a lot of people don't want to believe, but it's true nonetheless. You see, Jesus looks upon the heart. Do you look upon the heart? Jesus does. He knows your heart. On that day, when we stand before Christ as his chosen ones, he's not going to examine each of us like he might a fish. No. Oh, no. At a time in our lives when we repented and believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our Savior, well, that's when we passed muster. That's when we were accepted into his presence. He won't examine us to see if we're good enough to sit at his table. He won't ask us why he should allow us into heaven. He won't need to. Why? He already knows. What he will do is open wide his arms, a mile wide, if I may use the term, and say, welcome, welcome into my Father's house. He may even say, the persecution is finished. The persecution is finished. Oh, what wonderful words to hear. Someone once asked, will we see the nail prints in his hands and feet? Well, the scriptures are clear on this matter. When Jesus arose from the grave and walked among the people, did he still have the nail prints? Did he? If so, then why? If he heals himself, wouldn't they disappear? Well, if we look in the book of John, we find the answer. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. This is about doubting Thomas, okay? You probably gathered that. 25, verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I will not believe. Verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. 27. Then said he to Thomas, here we go, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Oh, wow. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Was he getting weak in the knees? Oh, yeah. And Jesus says in verse 29, he saith unto Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Wow. What tremendous scripture. Are you a person who needs to see to believe? Did the Word of God not say by faith? We are saved by faith. Or by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Did Thomas have faith? No. No, he didn't. But yet, these words are placed in the Scriptures for our admonition to show us that don't wait until you stand before the judgment seat. Believe now, because then it will be too late. He will be talking down to you. Jesus, the Christ, will be talking down to you and saying, why? Where was your faith? Why did you not believe? That you have to see, that you have to touch. Well, what do you think? There are still many skeptics today, just like doubting Thomas. They have this attitude that Jesus, well, that he should allow us all, including the skeptics, to see and to touch the nail prints before we believe. Wow! What say? Well, now, wouldn't that be something? If every one of us, before we got into heaven, would want to touch the nail prints and thrust our hand into his side. Wow. Unless we see, unless we touch the nail prints, well, this may have worked for Didymus, but not for the world to follow. For if this be us, then where is our faith? Where is it? Think of it. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Through what? Through faith. We'd all be as doubting Thomas. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails. The print of the nails. Imagine for a moment that for everyone who required certification of the crucifixion, like a doubting Thomas, then, would faith really be needed? All we'd have to see are the nail prints. Then we believe, right? We don't have to believe in this world we live in. We can't see them today. We can't look upon them and say, oh yeah, there are the nail prints. Oh, I see. Oh, look at his side. Yeah, it's true. He was crucified. Oh, yeah. Certification? Faith doesn't need certification. Would your faith really be needed? Oh, yes. Thomas believed because he saw and he touched the crucified one. Are you a doubting Thomas? Will you not believe until you see and you touch him? Well, you may see him at the judgment seat, but you will not touch him. You have not passed muster. You will not go with him to glory. You know, when I was a Catholic many years ago, I was convinced of the crucifixion simply because Catholicism had subjected me to study the statues that lined the walls and the figurines of one they called Christ, so that we could literally place our finger into the nail prints on the statue. Where's the faith? People just leave the church rejoicing. I touched Jesus. I put my fingers in his nail prints. I thrust my hand into his side. Where's the faith? Faith. Is faith not the substance of things hoped for? The evidence of things not seen? Oh, yes. Is it possible to please God without faith? No way. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man or woman should boast. I added the woman in. I know it's not in the scripture, but it means the same thing. By grace, through faith. Tell me, I'm not insinuating you are, but I'm asking the question. Are you like a doubting Thomas? Huh? Do you need to see to believe? Jesus allowed Thomas to see and to touch our blessed Savior. In John chapter 20, verse 25, we read, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will," what? "Not believe." I will not believe. Let me read verses 27 to 29 again. "Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God." Thomas got weak in the knees, didn't he? And in 29, Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." And here's the clincher. "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Have not seen and yet have believed. My, oh my. Are you one who believes without having to see? Are you? Or are you one that says, "Well, I know I'll stand before Jesus, I believe that. But you know, I'll see the nail prints. I'll see his side, you know. And that's where my faith will come into existence." Wrong. Because once you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, it's all over as far as faith goes, as believing goes. You see? You've crossed the line. It's too late for you. Now is the time to have faith. Now is the time to believe. Now, this very day, even this very hour, believe. Believe on what happened at Calvary, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house too. Now, why did Jesus permit Thomas to go through this process? Well, to yield his doubtful ways. The answer lies in verse 29. Jesus said unto Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Oh, yes. Are you one who believes before you actually see Christ? Are you? Or are you? Well, you know, I'm not saying I don't believe in Christ and what happened at Calvary. You know, but, you know, I'm like a lot of other people, you know. I mean, seeing is believing, right? Oh, yeah. Seeing is believing. And you will see Him. But you will not go with Him. In fact, you will go in the opposite direction. You will go into an everlasting hell where hellfire burns night and day, never ceasing. And you will be there. And you will suffer. And you will know why you are there. And you will cry out, but your cries will go unheard. Do you understand? Do you get the picture? Are you a doubting Thomas? You see, therein lies the true meaning of faith. How is it with you? Do you live by faith? Do you? Or does it have to be by sight? I won't believe unless I see. Really? Wrong attitude. Oh. You know, what a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you sure about your salvation? Make sure right now. Don't put it off. Jesus is waiting to hear you call upon Him. Lord, Lord, I believe. Help me to be strong and to grow in my faith. He loves you. He loves you more than anything could ever be loved. I'll leave you with this, and it couldn't be clearer. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you cannot boast your way into glory. Oh, I want to thank you for listening, and I pray this message has been a blessing to you, and that you're listening again next week. Thank you. God bless. Amen. Amen.